Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to episode 6, or session 6. MVP hasn't filed paperwork against me yet, so I can still call it a session. It's February the 4th. Wow. So thank you to everybody for checking us out over the last 5 episodes and sessions of this. And we've got our first guest, Audio Track. Yay! If you watched Monday Night Raw like I do every week, your jaw hit the floor when you see him occasionally on the crawl at the bottom at SM Fishman. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting there and you see this American Way magazine pop up on the screen. And you go, oh my God, I know that writer. If you subscribe to Channel Guide Magazine or seen it online, if you're a viewer of MiamiHerald.com or even the actual newspaper from time to time, or you're one of his 15,000 Twitter followers, God, I'm envious, or you listen to us back in the 2010-2013 era, he was a regular contributor as well. Scott Fishman is joining us. How did this even come about, this article with American Way? Because I know you've done stuff with other avenues, but to be a part of like a magazine that's exclusive to American Airlines flyers, how does this even come about?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm just honored to be your first guest. I didn't realize that I was breaking new ground here, but I appreciate that. I don't want to get into inner workings. I mean, I was approached late last summer, about the opportunity, and I was like, wow, this is an amazing, you know, opportunity, potential opportunity. So, I mean, you know, you never know how things are going to pan out, if it's going to happen or not. So I never really said much publicly about it. You know, I just was working along it. I was honored to be asked by, have a good rapport with WWE, and they know, you know, about my history, I guess, and covering them and WWE and WrestleMania. And they just approached me about it, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. So it basically went from there, and did the interviews, and now here we are. I didn't expect it to be, you know, featured on. I mean, you think about it, like when they posted on the website, that would have been enough for me. I was like, this is so cool. You know, someone that's been a fan for so long. It was an incredible thing to see. You know, especially someone who, you know, writes, this is what we do for, you know, job, or what we've been doing for years, and it's almost not a culmination, but it's definitely a highlight of something, probably the biggest thing, most exposure I've gotten for an article I've written about professional wrestling, for sure.
You were in attendance at the Royal Rumble and Monday Night Raw in Miami. Describe for fans that did not see it AJ Styles' introduction to the audience, because sitting in my house, I heard it when I went to the Amalie Arena that Tuesday when he worked Curtis Axel, but probably one of the biggest pops you've experienced as a wrestling fan and as a writer?
Oh, easily. I mean, it's been even last couple of years, I actually went to NXT shows where guys have debuted. So I was there when Finn Balor debuted in NXT. I was there when Samoa Joe debuted. But this was obviously on another level. It's interesting to see, because, you know, everyone was talking about his potential debut, if it was going to happen, when it would happen, and, you know, so it was in the back of people's minds. But I think the way they did it, like him coming out at number 3, if he was going to enter the Royal Rumble, I don't think people were expecting him to come out that early, or if they was going to come out early, it would be like maybe 2 or anything. But I don't know, just the space of it, and just I think that surprised some people, caught him off guard, but yeah, just the energy of it, just the whole roof blew. I think there were reports that even WWE was surprised at the reaction that AJ got. Just shows you how he has increased his name value over the years since leaving TNA and in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's great. You know, you and I have both followed his career, have talked to him over the years, so it's got to be. It's a great thing to see someone who's so humble and so, you know, great with the fans, great with guys like us, and has never let fame or anything get, you know, the better of him. Always a family guy, but a great, tremendous worker in the ring, and he's finally getting to have this huge platform where he's exposed to so many more millions of fans, and he's getting that due that he deserves. Something that we thought probably would never happen is now happening, so that's great to see.
Speaking of stuff that we probably didn't think we'd ever see, Austin Aries will make his TV debut, I believe it's on the March 2nd, NXT show on the WWE Network. It was done at the UCF Arena or whatever they call it over in Orlando now. Was this also a surprise to you and other writers that you speak with? Because he was another defector from TNA, and then he did like a high Ring of Honor and left Ring of Honor. Because this was kind of quiet for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, boom, there he is, and they're putting it up on the WWE Twitter feed. It's like, hey, look who's here. I was like, oh my goodness.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, he kind of hinted a little bit at it. I mean, he was very vague on what was happening or what was going on in the future. And I actually thought, part of me thought that he was going to go to TNA again because, I don't know, I just thought like they were signing guys again for the new Pop TV debut and return. So I thought that's the avenue that was going to happen. But I know he was backstage or in some vicinity of an NXT show not that long ago either. So I'm sure negotiations or talk began there or took place there and followed through to what we saw at the taping, or not what we saw, but those in attendance, what we'll see in March. But another guy that really deserves, like, another guy that is someone who's great in the ring and great on the microphone and really can deliver. And it's great to see guys who have been in the business for so long, has worked their way, have paid their dues, and are, you know, getting their opportunity now to showcase their abilities on the, like, these big platforms. It's something like you said, never see guys like Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, AJ Styles. It just shows you the perception of how it's changed within WWE, and also Triple H's impact, Paul Levesque, his impact within WWE, and maybe helping them see that this is what fans want to see now as it relates to the product.
Well, also because in the late 90s, before the Attitude Era type thing, he wouldn't be AJ Styles. He wouldn't be Austin Aries. He would probably be... It wouldn't be Samoa Joe. He would be generic wrestler name here. Is that Triple H's influence that because of social media being out there and you can go to YouTube and see all of their performances that you can't hide? You can hide they worked for TNA, they worked for Ring of Honor without mentioning them, but... You know, Miz on Monday Night put on that promo, just like, you know, you're an international star, and JBL did the same thing. Is that Triple H by himself, or is that just the way the world is now of wrestling? You can't hide their past.
I mean, I think social media and then just, you know, technology has definitely helped in that sense. But, I mean, another guy we have to give credit for, of course, is William Regal, who's been scouting this talent, and he's been on the pulse of what's been going on in professional wrestling today, and I'm sure his influence has also helped these guys get signed, or some of them get signed, or pretty much all of them get signed. But yeah, I definitely think that has something to do with it, and getting people knowing these names ahead of time. It's just interesting how they have skirted around the issue of TNA. They did it in the past with Sting, and now they're doing it again with other guys, especially with AJ, someone who's synonymous with TNA Impact Wrestling. But it just shows you, I guess, their stance on it. I don't know. But it's obviously changed that, you know, there was always these reports. I don't even know if it was true or not, because even Triple H was like, we're going to sign talent no matter where they come from if they're good. If they're good, they're good. We're going to sign them. But there was that talk about if they came from TNA, that's an immediate, you know, no, red flag. Like, do not come here, basically. But, you know, obviously that's changed, or it never happened, and it never was the case. So
the other three names that are going to be debuting in WWE before Mania, after Mania. I know before Mania, we will get Shinsuke Nakamura at NXT TakeOver Dallas, where he's going to take on Sami Zayn in his debut, and then you're going to have Gallows and Anderson coming along as well. As a fan, take it that you're a writer for a moment. As a fan, are you sitting there going, holy crap, Balor Club, Bullet Club, whatever you're going to call it, may actually happen? I mean, there's been stories going around, it's like, okay, unless you're AJ's level, NXT, you're going to end up there. Because Joe wins NXT, a lot of folks were just like, whoa, wait a minute, this is, you know, almost undefeated ROH champion, he's in NXT. How does this go? Do you see that rumored Balor Club, Bullet Club thing going, or where do these three land once they get to WWE NXT land?
I don't see Nakamura staying very long within NXT. I mean, his his background and giving his star power and his charisma, I think will pretty much catapult him through the next couple of months through NXT. But, you know, things have happened where, you know, maybe they need more star power down in NXT and they don't have a right place for them, which I hope whenever they, if they start NXT and they are called up, that they have a plan and not just inserting him into the landscape without, you know, anything in mind long term. We've seen so many times when NXT guys get called up and just get lost up and lost in the shuffle for whatever reason. And it's really sad to see, considering of how you know them within the NXT world. So I could see Nakamura getting called up. I mean, the other guys, I think they might start on NXT, maybe even start their own faction there with Balor and leave AJ separate, and they could build something going forward. So I could definitely see that. You don't want to call everybody up at once or at the same time, because then they're going to get lost in the shuffle. You want to have like the spotlight on these guys because you brought them in and you want them to be, you know, make an immediate impact. No pun intended. But so you have AJ now. You have, you know, Joe. You know, the talk of Joe coming in and Finn Balor. You don't want to do it all at once. So I actually didn't even think Joe was going to be called up at one point. I thought, you know, a lot of people thought that he was going to, you know, stay in NXT. That's, you know, he was going to be this veteran that works with the young guys and still get that platform where he gets to work within the WWE universe on the NXT level where, you know, his work rate is showcased and everything like that. But now that seems to not be the case, and that they see his popularity and maybe they're changing course of what originally was the plan, or maybe it was the plan all along. But seeing him in, you know, on the main roster would be exciting to see. So it'll be an interesting next couple of months. Hopefully they, you know, they spread it out and don't have it all at once. And then, like I said, people getting lost in the shuffle, which is the biggest thing you don't want to see.
Scott Fishman joining us here on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Thank you for downloading this. We really appreciate you doing it. I mentioned I went to the SmackDown event in Tampa, and you talk about people getting lost in the shuffle. As we're walking in, I suddenly go, okay, wait a minute. Did they start early? Because I hear Tyler Breeze's music. And sure enough, the dark match before they do main event was Mark Henry versus Tyler Breeze. Is the honeymoon over already for this kid? Because I mean, if you watch the Breaking Ground show on WWE Network, you saw his rise. And if you go even further back to when FCW was on Bright House Network's TV, you saw him in a previous entity. What's gone wrong here from creative? Was it, let's launch him out as far as we can go, then reel him back in? Or what do you think is the destination for Tyler Breeze now that especially he's broken off from Summer Rae? Where does he go? What does he do?
I think it's too early to tell. I mean, he just signed. You know how things go with WWE and the roller coaster ride. And 1 minute you're hot, 1 minute you're not. It's basically, we've seen it with Dolph Ziggler and so many guys. So I'm not gonna, you know, say it's all over for him. It's too late. But there's definitely been a downturn with Tyler Breeze the last couple of months since he debuted. They brought him in. I didn't think they actually did. I mean, initially I thought they did a decent job with him, but having him lose matches right from the start, even before all this talk about him in a dog report, quote, doghouse, if that's even true, but if it is, then in the doghouse, he was losing match. He had this big win, and then the next night he would lose. I think it was Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. And from that, and then they took away Summer Rae after that, you know, so much time, and it was kind of a matter-of-factly way of doing it. They didn't really make that much of a big deal about it, and then Summer's just not even being shown on television. So I don't know. I guess it just shows you the thought process of the storyline in general with Summer and Tyler, and Tyler in general. But and it's been hard to watch, considering, like you said, we watch Breaking Ground. So you're cheering for this guy because you see what a big deal they made it. You know, Triple H brought him up to the front and just showed him that he was going to get signed with the company in front of everybody. And you see how genuinely happy everybody is for his success. Mm-hmm. So to see him get called up and, you know, seen this way, you know, it's hard to, it's sad, it's hard, and hopefully it doesn't get worse considering all these new talents that's coming up. It's only going to make, you know, not things not that good for him as far as getting the spotlight and getting this precious TV time. But, you know, Triple H is a big fan of his, so there's still hope for him, I think.
Before we started recording, we went over the list of the WWE MASH unit, as it's been known by certain folks. I gave you a few minutes beforehand to think this out. Who of the following is missed the most by the WWE creative writing staff? And then you go to the power of Vince, Stephanie, Triple H. John Cena, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, and I'm going to throw a wild card in because he's been gone for so long, yet his name is chanted when the show gets boring, CM Punk.
Sorry, what was it? You're asking who are they missing most?
Who do you think the creative team themselves misses the most? That not from merchandise sales, but I mean just more from a creative aspect of they were a focus of the show, and yeah, they've been able to switch it to other guys, but who's missed the most from a creative aspect?
I'm not so sure that they miss like CM Punk as far as that's concerned, only because of the way I've heard, you know, him taking ideas and kind of making him his own or going a different direction. But I think in the past year, I think they're missing Seth Rollins because that was their focal point for the last couple of months leading up to WrestleMania and beyond. And when he got injured, it really, I think, changed things and got them thinking of what they're going to do moving forward. And then, you know, he's become such a big part of the show. I mean, every week they were using him. And but as far as, I mean, I guess like it's, you know, all those guys are missed. But for me, if I was on the writing team, I would definitely miss CM Punk, of course. But I think Seth Rollins would be the guy right now that they're really hurting for. Because with Orton and Cena, I mean, they've been there, done that, but there's so much potential moving forward more with Seth Rollins. They've only, I think, scratched the surface when it comes to using him. And with Daniel Bryan, I mean, it's a hard question because they're all big names, and you really could say they miss all of them. But as far as recently, I'll go with Seth Rollins on that one.
Who makes their reappearance first? Is any of those names, do you think they're creatively, and Vince and Stephanie and Triple H are going, okay, you really need to get back by Mania, because yeah, Mania sells itself, but this is probably going to bash any WWE attendance record at AT&T Stadium. Who do you think makes it back first to TV of the injured group of Rollins, Cena, or Orton?
Well, it seems like Orton is making progress, so I would say he, out of that group, he's probably one of the more likely guys if his progress continues. But you never know with Cena. I mean, he comes back unexpectedly at the Royal Rumble a couple years ago, and everyone thought he had months to go with his rehabilitation. So the guy's, you know, he's not human when it comes to coming back from injury, so he could surprise us. But I'm thinking, given that timetable, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But I would say Randy Orton out of that group. But Daniel Bryan is also one doctor away, or WWE doctor, from approval, because the other doctors had already, you know, passed him.
Mania is a few weeks away, and I'm sure we'll talk again between now and then. The top four matches in your mind that you would want to see at this WrestleMania are what?
Realistically, or I'll go with realistically. I'm going to go with the obvious Roman Reigns versus Triple H. It seems that that's the story they're trying to tell here, and it's, you know, when you move on forward to what's been going on with the Royal Rumble and into Fastlane, that Roman Reigns is going to go on to face Triple H. The question is, who's going to be a special ref, if they're going to be a special referee? If Shawn Michaels is going to play a role now, everyone's talking about, in the, you know, behind the scenes as far as the internet reports go, going by that, about him maybe possibly being a special referee, so that could be an occasion for that. Austin could be involved as well, or The Rock could be involved, because we don't know about Rock wrestling. I would actually, you know, I'm going to go on and make it a big match if Rock does return to them in a wrestling-oriented role. It would be nice to see him face a guy like Rusev, someone who can get the rub from working with a big name like him. And they have definitely planted the seeds between those two in the last couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not for Undertaker and Braun Strowman, but I could see them going in that direction. I don't like it, only for the fact that he's so new. But it does go in the back when you look at Undertaker's past WrestleMania opponents, who he worked with, and all these giants. And I don't know if he could be any as bad as Giant Gonzalez, rest his soul. But I can see that being the case at WrestleMania. And then Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt, which I like the idea of that match. considering it's, you know, Paul Heyman, the potential of Paul Heyman and Bray Wyatt on the microphone will be interesting. So I like the idea of that, and I think Bray could to have a good match with Brock Lesnar. I think it'll surprise a lot of people, so I'll go with that as well.
Sting is already the announced member of this year's Hall of Fame class. Rumors, as always, the Fabulous Freebirds now getting a lot louder because it's in Dallas and the old Sportatorium World Class organization. Give me a couple names that you've heard or you feel do belong in there.
As far as the women's wrestling is concerned, I think Jacqueline was a big name, perfect for Texas and the whole theme that they're going for. Given her career and all she's accomplished, not only for women's wrestling, but you know, as far as an African American women's wrestler, she's broke a lot of boundaries and done a lot within the industry. She's even wrestled Disco Inferno, so there you go.
Hey.
So I definitely would like to see her get inducted this year. You know, talk obviously about the Freebirds, like you said, world class, so that would be a big deal. A lot of people seeing that happen or will be mad if it doesn't happen because they built it up so much. So I could definitely see that. As far as the, let's see, who we got left. JBL, I think, I mean, that's been the talk of John Bradshaw Layfield. I mean, I guess considering his success on the microphone as a broadcaster and in the ring, being the longest reigning world champion in SmackDown history, I think that gives him credence as far as being in the Hall of Fame, as far and also going along with that Texas theme, too. And as far as the celebrity branch, it seemed like Regis Philbin was a name thrown around a lot last couple of months, which that was kind of out of left field, because I could see a lot, you know, other people. I'm surprised that they haven't gone after, you know, other guys. You know, not the same thing about Regis Philbin, but, and, you know, he was part of WrestleMania history in the past, hosting, you know, past events and things like that. But when it comes to celebrity, you know, wing of Hall, you don't really take it too seriously. Although a lot of people actually do, never mind. People do take it kind of seriously when you think about the outrage whenever someone gets announced, it seems.
Ravishing Rick Rude, the biggest in my mind, splitting a mission.
Like British Bulldog, Owen Hart. I would love to see Owen Hart go in. You know, those are the obvious ones. Even this year, I mean, I don't, you know, it's not going to happen with Owen Hart, I don't think, unless you think, but... You know, the DVD coming out, you got a little hope about that happening, but who knows?
Yep, we've got a few minutes remaining here, actually about 7 minutes remaining. One of your recent articles, besides the tremendous one that's going to be in every seat on American Airlines, was with the man who, if you watch Lucha Underground this past Wednesday, you saw the mask put back on, Rey Mysterio. Is going to be in Lucha Underground. Articles have come out recently that Triple H met with Lucha Underground to do some sort of working relationship, and also a rumored super show with TNA Wrestling around WrestleMania. Robert Rodriguez and Mark Burnett probably are just sitting there going, yeah, fine, we're happy, we got our own network, go away. From your dealings and watching Lucha Underground, are they a viable threat in WWE or TNA's eyes that these kind of meetings supposedly happened?
I don't know what what happened with the meeting, so I guess it's for that. That would tell the story as far as that's concerned. But I would love to see them grow their audience more than they have been, because it's such a great show. It's such a unique concept. I mean, my wife, you know, I wouldn't say deals with wrestling. She's a wrestling fan, but, you know, I overwatch a lot of wrestling, so she can only take so much. But I've shown her this, and even the 10-minute loop, you know, showing what happened last season, you know, got her excited about watching it this time around, and she's actually into watching it because, you know, it's more than a wrestling show. It's like this, it's like a movie, it's a TV show. I mean, just the presentation of it is just so different and cinematic, and they treat them as, you know, they're fleshed-out characters. They're out a little bit out there. They have a little bit of everything, and I like what I think it was Katrina says when I talked to her, and even Ray. Like everybody's there for a reason. Everybody has a reason for being on the show each week. I think the hour really helps it, that not having to, because, you know, a lot of people give flack to WWE, but they have so many hours of television they need to fill. So with them just having the hour, they can, you know, make it more about quality more than quantity. In a lot of cases, not, you know, WWE, not to say that they don't go for quality, but just having those hours, there's some times where they probably have to be like, all right, we need to fill this, so what do we do? But they have, plus they have the months of planning because it's like a season, so they don't have that kind of pressure as well. But I know they just announced the third season. I don't know what's going to happen with WWE. I hope it's separate. They keep it separate. I don't know what WWE was looking for with their partnership with them. I like them on their own and having the freedom to do what they want, be different. I'm sure WWE is watching and looking and seeing how effective they are with that, maybe taking a little bit from what they do and their style. It'll be interesting to see if that comes about. Because, you know, when SmackDown initially was moved, I actually, you know, you thought it was going to be kind of like a different presentation. And I don't know about you, but Mauro's been amazing and definitely making it look different, giving it a different atmosphere as far as being a different show. But as far as presentation, I thought it was going to be a little bit different from Monday Night Raw. I mean, maybe in the months to come, that's going to be the case. But as far as the initial, what they've been doing, it just seems like just SmackDown was moved to Sci-Fi and has a new announcer, which the announcer is a great improvement. But and I like Waller now and Byron. I think they're a great team. But like I said, the presentation, I would have liked to be a little different, and maybe they take a little bit of what Lucha Underground does in NXT and other places. But that's been disappointing with me. But as far as Lucha Underground is concerned, I know I digress. But
no, you're good.
But I think with Ray being on Lucha Underground, hopefully it'll bring more eyes to the product. And because you don't get much more bigger as far as a Lucha Libre and you know, in the modern era than Rey Mysterio. So signing him is a big deal. And there's a lot of potential as far as branding opportunities and things like that. I mean, they brought Ray down here in South Florida, and he did media, you know, for a day, so it just shows you in demand Rey Mysterio is and how he's still this worldwide figure, whether he's with WWE or not.
He is Scott Fishman. He does social media. He has to. He has 15,000 plus followers, as I said earlier, I'm jealous of. It is at SM Fishman, FISHMAN. I believe it's at Channel Guide. You can get links to all of his stuff. If you enjoyed this, we will have some other great interviews coming up in the coming days and weeks and months, and I'm sure we will be talking to Scott again in the near future. It is at My Name is Wojcik, Wojcik on Twitter. The show is facebook.com/kayfabewrestlingradio. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Scott for being here, and we'll talk again soon.